Okay, want to review just a little bit. So, on the timeline, we're not going to go clear back to the sealed judgments, just to walk through some categories. So, if you don't have this, I still have several of these. So, this is essentially the tribulation period, is what we're talking about here. So, the peace treaty, so the tribulation period begins with the peace treaty, the signing of the peace treaty. I've said before that... that the Antichrist rises to power, but I don't believe it's world power yet. We're actually, the Antichrist is next Sunday's topic. So we've been saying, just wait till we get to that, and then we'll address that next week. So the Antichrist comes, the two witnesses appear, because the tribulation begins with not a single believer on the planet at all. And so these people are then starting to testify. You'll see that I've made an interpretive decision, and that is that the seventh trumpet is the seventh, or the seven trumpets are is the seventh seal. So you have six seal judgments. The seventh seal then becomes the seven trumpets. The seven bowls are the seventh trumpet. Otherwise, you read some of those, and you're going, I don't know what judgment is spoken of here, but then you see that the next series follows. Middle of the between sixth and seventh trumpet, the two witnesses are killed. We looked at that, and we're about to start the bowl judgments, but we're right in the middle of the tribulation. So that's why I had you turn to the middle of the tribulation. Now let me jump ahead to all of that. First half, all those seal judgments, and those trumpet judgments. So we get to middle of the tribulation. Okay, so let's review with that. So that's why on your handout, that very bottom line just says middle of the tribulation, then you could turn over to the next one. This is where we looked at the Antichrist. Something happens where it appears to be a fatal wound. It was enough to get people's attention. It was enough to impress the world. So I think several things are going to impress the world. Barb's laptop just signed in. Let me close out of that. Because the Antichrist, I think, at this point is going to rise to world power. And we looked at those passages. We're not going to take the time to look at those again. But whatever this mortal wound, or appeared to be a mortal wound. So John's very careful with the language to not say he officially died. It just looked like, it appeared to be a mortal wound. Because we know there's very few exceptions, potentially, but... it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. So if the Antichrist dies, it would be judgment. But so that's why I kind of put, he's sort of killed, I should put quotes around that, then resurrected as well. Then the two witnesses are killed. I think that also, now you have this man that comes back from the dead. Look, Jesus came back from the dead. I'm presenting myself to you as the newest Jesus, kind of the alternate Jesus. And again, we'll look at, does that mean he has to be a Jew? We'll look at that next week, okay? But then his ability to kill these two men who have been completely invulnerable, whatever, that's not the word I want, but anyway, you couldn't kill them, okay? It sounds like people tried and they simply couldn't. And then all of a sudden, this guy is able to pull that off. And he kills as in dead kills. So these guys are dead. They parade them there, or they kind of put them out on display. And again, we have television coverage now, so we know that that's not going to go away. So it's going to be on every news station. It's going to be everywhere. They sort of have a Christmas. They're giving gifts. Hey, this is great. The guys are dead. And 3.5 days later, they sit back up. I can't believe what people are going to, how they're going to respond when that happens. It's pretty crazy, okay? And again, we looked at those. I think that's when the Antichrist becomes the world head. When he does that, then we institute, and I said, I don't know when these things happen there, but the mark of the beast, again, we'll look at that next week, but the 666, so we'll see what clues that gives us. That's the right forehand. That's the forehead. So that mark of the beast, they somehow institute that. I think he can do it because he now is the world power, and he can institute this as a worldwide requirement for doing commerce. So the scripture tells us, and again, we'll look at that next week, you can't buy or sell. So if you sell on eBay, you're now going to have to register your number or your whatever with eBay or Craigslist or any of those other kinds of things. Okay? The Antichrist breaks the peace treaty. We looked at that. So he signs a seven-year treaty, and halfway through, now he doesn't need him anymore because he is the world power. So he breaks that peace treaty. And then this is where we ended. We start talking about the abomination of desolation. Again, we saw that in Daniel. Daniel 9:27, the end, and on the wing. I'll have you turn to some Revelation ones a little later and Matthew ones. But on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate until the decree of end is poured out on the desolator. Means the Antichrist, you're going to get your comeuppance. But right now, you're in power. Daniel 11 talks about that. Matthew 24. Remember, Matthew 24 and 25 are not rapture passages. Okay, these are tribulation passages and second coming passages. So Matthew records it this way. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. He's basically saying, we're getting close. We're getting real close. And that is something everybody will be able to recognize. Okay, we right now look at things and go, is that how he's going to do such and such? For instance, we talked a little bit about, you know, you could chip your animals. Military, they're often chipped. So we might say, is that the technology the Antichrist uses? Okay, we're not sure. Okay, I can take a guess at it. This is going to be something people go, that's what they were talking about. When the Antichrist stands in the temple and desecrates the temple, what does that mean? Well, in old days, Old Testament days, when they wanted to desecrate the temple, they would sacrifice an unclean animal, a pig or something else. Okay, so you have now kind of ruined the temple. So, but he's going to stand there. One of the things we know he's going to do, again, we'll catch this next week, but the image of the beast, so this gold image, he's going to put that right in the temple. Amazing. So, that's going to be something people will look and go, wow. If they have eyes where they can understand it, that's a clear, because Matthew said, when you see that taking place, and then he goes on and says, beware, because here's what's going to happen. Okay? At some point, so let's look at Matthew 24. At some point, now the Jews are going to flee. Again, I'm not sure of the order. I've put them in an order that logically makes sense. But this is difficult to say the scriptures give us this exact order. So that middle of the tribulation, I think all these need to happen. And they're going to happen really quickly. But I don't know the exact order of those. Okay, so Matthew 24, again, tribulation passage. This is following up from, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea, Matthew 24, verse 16, flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. Let the one who is in his field not turn back to take his cloak. For alas, for women who are pregnant, for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath. For there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. That's why we call the middle of the tribulation the great tribulation. The whole 7 years we referred to as the tribulation period. Matthew said this is going to be the great tribulation. So as bad as those seal and trumpet judgments have been, it is going to get worse. So he's saying, Jews, he is now, I think again, logically it falls, and especially Matthew does seem to be chronological there. So Matthew 24, when you see this, then do this. Get out of town. Don't spend a lot of time packing up your bags. Get out of town because the persecution of the Jews is going to start big time now because he doesn't need them. He's broken the peace treaty. Why break a peace treaty if you're going to be gentle with somebody? I think you break the peace treaty because you're about to wreak havoc on everybody. Okay? So, where are they fleeing? There are many, actually, who say it might be Petra. If you're familiar with the Jordan area, Petra is a city built back in the mountains. My son has actually been there. It's like, oh, Ben, I would love to. But he's with his buddies who simply wanted to sit out and just kind of chill from their walk back there, so they didn't explore. Going, Ben, well then leave them alone. Just go take off. But he didn't really tour much. The classic, most notable place is the Treasury. Indiana Jones, as he goes through that rocky passage and you show up, that is Petra. That is, now, all of the stuff inside of that in the movie, none of that exists whatsoever. That's all stage. But that face, that facade, is the Treasury building of Petra. So some say that's a place that the Jews can go to. It is very easy to defend because it's a city built much into the mountain, but then it also, from the Treasury, if you go to your right, so for you, if you're at the Treasury, go to your right. There's actually all kinds of buildings and other things. That's just a piece of what Petra is. And you can go in, you can go clear up to the top of the mountain. They say there's a possibility it is in the mountains. That qualifies. It is easy to defend. Does the Bible say Petra? No. So, that's at least a possibility. All it says is flee to the mountains. Now, there are some potentially fake news. I'll give it to you in case you read it and realize it's not been fully proven to my knowledge. One of the ways the Antichrist is going to try and get rid of the people of Israel is to flood them out. And some have said, yeah, that channel, when it floods, you just channel all that water down through there. And the potential fake news is that peoples of ancient times or more modern times have built a bunch of cisterns. So if he tries to flood it, the water is going to be diverted down into these. He's not going to be as successful. I don't know if any of that's true or not. Okay, the Lord is also fully capable, but capable of just saying, okay, water, disappear. He can do that anyway, wants to do it. If it is indeed Petra, don't know. Could be somewhere totally different, but that kind of has some romanticism in there. Okay. Jump to Revelation 12. Crazy, crazy passage here because of all the symbolism in it. And we've talked about how there's times where Daniel's 70 weeks. Okay, you're moving along, and then there's just this pause, and there's no idea why the pause is there. We talked about that with Jesus taking the scroll and reading and stopping in the middle of a sentence. And we're going to get the same thing here. Revelation 12, 1 to 6. Some of this we'll cover next week. But, and a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon at her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. Think back, Old Testament, Genesis. Where's that symbolism found? Joseph. Yeah, so Joseph was referring to the Jews. So the woman clothed with sun, moon at her feet, and on her head were 12 crown of 12 stars, 12 tribes of Judah. I think they're referring to Israel. Okay, she was pregnant and was crying out of birth pains, the agony of giving birth. Another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. We've seen that symbolism before. On his head, 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven. Pause for a second. That's the only passage where some will say, and I lean this way. Okay, I'm not in that camp, but I lean this way that if there's a number given for how many angels follow Satan, that's the only passage that might be. Because the Satan is the red dragon and swept the stars of heaven. We know that in the Old Testament, angelic beings are often called stars of heaven. Okay, so that, so we're not talking about he's physically wiped out stars. So I lean toward, yeah, if there is a place that tells us how many angels followed Satan, then a third of them did. But that's the only passage. So I take that with, okay, I think that might be what it be. Cast them to earth. So yeah, demonic forces are active in the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth. Now picture the woman as Israel, but represented by Mary, Jesus' mom. Okay? So Mary was a Jew. Okay? So falls with that. Okay? So the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth so that when she bore a child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, Jesus, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. That is how he's described in other places. But the child was caught up to God and to his throne. Stop. We just paused for a lot of time right there. Okay? Because Jesus now is there, but he is not currently kind of ruling the world there. But picture that symbolism. There's Satan just waiting for Jesus to be born. And he wants to destroy Jesus. And who do we see in the Christmas story trying to make sure Jesus is killed? King Herod. Yeah. So I think that is exactly what John is referring to here. That Satan, through King Herod, who said, let's kill all babies from 2 years and down, which in my mind means that Jesus may have been a year old. If I were king, I want to go to one end, to the other end. But it doesn't say how old he was at that time. And he was protected. He was protected, one, by going to Egypt for a time. Remember, the angel said, Joe, out of here. God wants to kill your son. He goes there until it specifically says that Herod died, and then he didn't go back to Bethlehem because the angel also said, yeah, don't go there. Go up to Nazareth. Okay, so I think that is what's happening here. Gave birth to a son. He is going to rule nations with a rod of iron. Child was caught up to God to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness. That's my connection with Matthew 24. Okay, so the woman, Israel, flees to the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God in which she is nourished for 1260 days, 3.5 years, middle of the tribulation. Jews flee essentially for the rest of the tribulation period. Okay? So it's interesting. I'll jump ahead a little bit and then come back. Where is Armageddon? Armageddon is when the nations are trying to defeat Israel. Where's Israel? Israel's not necessarily in Jerusalem because many of them have fled. We'll get back to that another time. So the Jews flee. Where they go, don't know. Petra, maybe. I mean, it's close. They could get there. It's just over in Jordan. And they're there for 3.5 years. Somewhere in here, also, the false prophets promote the Antichrist. And that's Revelation 13. So let's just look at that. Because then the bowls we actually roll through pretty quickly. Okay, so Revelation 13. So they've called this the Satanic Trinity. So if you hear that term, they're referring to Satan as God the Father, Antichrist as God the Son, and the false prophet as the Holy Spirit. So the Satanic Trinity, Satan, Antichrist, false prophet. Here's where we see a bit about the false prophet. Revelation 13, verse 11. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth that had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. Okay? False prophet. Smooth talker. Smooth talker. But what he says is dangerous. It exercises all the authority of the first beast. Now, first beast in Revelation is the Antichrist. So, he shares authority. He makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast. So, officially now, you are required to worship the Antichrist, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even make fire come down from heaven in earth to earth in front of the people. That's actually pretty easy to do. We can do that with modern technology. You fly a jet and drop certain chemicals in the atmosphere, and you can make it look just like this. I don't know how he's going to do it. Okay, I don't know that he's going to have command over meteors and all that kind of stuff, but I think it'll be a different way he does that. But whatever, it's impressive. Okay, and by the signs he's allowed to work in the presence of the beast that deceives those who dwell on the earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. Okay? It was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast. So here's this thing. I picture it as this gold statue of the Antichrist. Okay, I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's an image. Maybe it's a 3D hologram. We don't know. We have the technology to do that. And if it's a hologram, you can make it look completely solid, and you can make it talk, which could fulfill these. I'm in the guess range now. How's he going to pull it off? Don't know, but our modern technology would allow this to happen really easily. Okay? So the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. Worship or die. Okay? So all of that happens in the middle of the tribulation. I don't think it's going to take long for that stuff to take place. It could be the matter of days. Okay? But it's sort of in the middle of the tribulation. Then we go to the end of the tribulation. Okay? End of the tribulation, the great tribulation. It is trumpet 7, and it's the bowl judgments. So Revelation 11. So now we'll just kind of stay in Revelation a little bit. Revelation 11, verse 15. Seventh angel blew its trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven. Remember what happened when the seventh seal was opened? It was silence for 30 minutes. Seventh angel, there's all kinds of noise. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of the Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever. And then you can read the other section. 24 elders. 24 elders seem to be a reference to the church in heaven. Okay. And essentially, it's going, okay, we're now in the end of the end. We're in the last 3.5. We're in the end of the end. Okay. And then it opens up the bowl judgments. These are nasty. Revelation 16. Now remember, like, several billion people have already been slain. It doesn't tell us how many were slain by the Antichrist when they refused to worship him. But yeah, first judgment is boils. Revelation 16, then I heard a loud voice from the temple telling the seven angels, go and pour out, pour is why they call it the bowl judgments, pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and harmful and painful sores came upon the people who bore the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. Again, see, it's selective. You don't have the mark of the beast, you don't get punished. Okay. Never had a boil. My wife likes watching the weirdest things on YouTube. And she will watch people lance boils and all that. So I'm not even going any farther with that. But yeah. But yeah, so you're going to, the people are going to, yeah, this is just not going to be fun. Nasty. Bowl judgment 2. Not only have seals and trumpets messed up things, but now we're going to, again, make sure the salt water is destroyed. Think of how much salt water is on this planet. Look at verse 3. Second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse. And every living thing died that was in the sea. Okay? Became like the, I think is saying it's going to look, it may feel like, I don't know that he physically turns it to blood, but again, the Lord can do anything he wants to, however he wants to. But I think it's saying, this looks like blood, and whatever it is, every living thing in the sea, every fish, every shrimp, yeah, every whale, dolphin, I mean, just think of the odor when those wash up onto the shore. Yeah, so you go to Ocean City, you go to Virginia Beach to kind of kick back on the beach, and you've got scores of just rotting critters there. Sound good, Mandy? Yeah, you're already flinching at some of this just like I am. Yeah. Okay, so salt water is destroyed. Oceans cover a large chunk of our planet. Okay? Fresh water is destroyed. Bowl Judgment 3, verse 4 to 7. Third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel in charge of the waters, which is interesting, angel in charge of the waters. I think it's the angel in charge of pouring out the bowl upon those waters. I don't know that, you know, the Conocajig has an angel reserved for it. Yeah. Just are you, O Holy One. Interesting. We always want to blame God for doing stuff that's wrong. Why did God allow this? The implication of that is he was wrong in doing that. And this angel said, you are just. You are correct in doing this. Oh. Just are you, a holy one, who is and who was, and for you brought these judgments. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. It is what they deserve. And I heard the altar saying, yes, Lord God, the Almighty, true and just are your judgments. Wow, what an interesting perspective from heaven to see how horrible sin is. And the utter rebellion of these people, these are just judgments. They deserve it.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Have you ever heard or thought, because I have no idea, that the bowls, the trumpets, and the seals, you stack them one on top of each other, and one this reveals a little more in-depth of the other.
That's a little bit like the cyclical that, yeah.
Because, like, for an example, you know, if you look at the trumpet six, you know, it's the angel's end of Euphrates. The angel sounded and I heard a voice of the
yeah.
And then if you go to the bowl judgment, you know, it just takes it one step further to the Euphrates. And the same with the, you know, the darkening of the sky, the trumpet, when you trumpet and then you go to the bowl, it just takes it, you know,
yeah.
Another step further.
I would probably lean more toward that if they lined up. So trumpet four is seal four is...
Most of them line up, but not all of them.
Yeah. So that is a... So there's a lot of people that would say that, yeah, they simply kind of cycle back and give you more detail and flesh out more of what's happening. I don't move that way, but...
I hadn't really heard too much of it
yeah.
until this past week when I was trying to study
sort through all this, yeah.
Yeah, on this, and then, you know, this pastor brought up, well, you know, you stack them one on top of each other, so then I started reading them one
yeah.
on top of each other, and a lot of it makes sense, but yet this, it's like,
Yeah, so that is not an unusual, it's an interpretive choice. So yeah, it's not unusual. I tend to go the other direction, but yeah. Bowl Judgment 4. Revelation 16. Fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was allowed to scorch people with fire. They were scorched by the fierce heat, and they cursed the name of God who had power over these plagues. They did not repent or give him glory. Amazing! Did not repent or give him glory. Now, how does this happen? Well, one of the things the scientists tell us is that in about another 9 to 50 billion years, like that range, our sun will become a red giant. And a red giant to even go beyond the orbit of Mars, so our sun will then engulf Mercury, Venus, Earth, and even Mars. So wouldn't it be interesting if the Lord allows this, the sun physically to get larger for a period of time? Again, I'm just in guessing. How could this happen? He can do it any way he wants to do it. He can make the sun all of a sudden kick out a whole bunch more energy, however he wants to do it. But we are in, which really, I can't rabbit trail much on this, but I read a lot of science stuff, a lot of astronomy. We are in a super small zone of habitable distance from our star. Much closer, we're going to freeze to death. much closer, we're going to burn up. Much farther away, we're going to freeze to death. We're in that kind of ideal spot. Obviously, I think it's because God did it that way. But yeah, wouldn't it be interesting to see how this happens? Whatever happens, it's going to get really hot. Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
At that time, they can still be saved?
I think so. Yep. Yeah. They can be. Yep. Will many? Probably not. But yeah, I think you still have the testimony now of people who got saved through the witnesses, saved through the 144,000, saved just by reading the scripture and going, whoa, yeah, this is true, I better believe it. I think you can. I mean, yeah, you can still be saved. I think the statement about they didn't repent, I think that's a blanket statement as a whole earth, as a whole globe of people. Yeah, they're not going to repent. I think there will be some because the millennium is going to start with a lot of saved people. These are people who get saved during the tribulation. So yeah, gospel still changes. Gospel's still there. Okay, then we get to the next one. Revelation 16 verse 10. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast and the kingdom was plunged into darkness. Again, a lot of these mimic other judgments and mimic the plagues in Israel. Or plagues in Egypt, I mean. Okay? Plunge in darkness, people gnawed their tongues in anguish and cursed the God of heaven for their pain and sores. They did not repent of their deeds. John just keeps putting that back in there. It's getting worse and worse. And when one starts, so think of these as cumulative. So not that when bowl 5 is poured out, bowl 4 stops. No. It's been poured out. It is still happening. So you have all this kind of stuff. So now you're burning up in heat and it's dark out. Okay? So, darkness. Then we get to the Euphrates drying up and three demons released. Where's my time? Okay, we're sort of okay. Revelation 16, 12. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings of the east. You need to get a mass of army across the river. It's just easier if it's dry. And I saw coming out of the mountains, mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, again, our satanic trinity there, three unclean spirits like frogs. Okay, so demons, I think these are demons, okay, like frogs. These are demonic spirits, performing signs who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of the God Almighty. Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. And they assembled them at the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. So the battle is getting ready, okay? These demons are making the way easier for these armies to assemble. Let's just move on. Earthquake and, so the final bowl. Earthquake and the judgment. Seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake such as there's never been since man was on the earth. So great was that earthquake. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and God remembered Babylon the Great to make her drain the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. And every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found. The great hailstones, about 100 pounds each. Whoa! Those are destructive things. I mean, from vehicles to people to animals, whatever's left. Fell from heaven on people, and they cursed God for the plague of the hail because the plague was so severe. Sovereignly sent judgments, and the people still won't listen. Verse 17, the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. A loud voice came out of the temple saying, "It is done." And there was that great earthquake. Just amazing. Okay. So, now we have to figure out the end of the tribulation. Because we've got the bowl judgments done. So now the end of the tribulation. Again, it's hard to pin these down, but these things have to happen. And then we get this really strange verse, and I'm going to shift way into, here's my guess. Okay, when we get to that. Somewhere in here, Armageddon's going to happen. Armageddon, this great battle. We just read where the Euphrates dries up, so the armies of the East can get there. Start reading Zechariah again, just to kind of review and to fit stuff in there. It's amazing. Zechariah, one of the minor prophets, is talking about this as well. I'm going to let you read those on your own. But Armageddon, someplace, has to happen in here. Okay? Somewhere, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, heaven in here, you'll see a question on timing. Location's in heaven. Does this happen right after the rapture and the judgment seat of Christ and there's a marriage supper? It could be. John just chooses to put this in Revelation 19. So is this one of those he broke out of his chronological and just told about an event? Or is this kind of following that sort of as Armageddon is getting ready, then to present his bride at the end of Armageddon, when Jesus comes back, he brings his bride with him. So kind of this is happening. I don't know the timing. It's just curious to me that John puts it in Revelation 19 in the context of the Battle of Armageddon. Then we do have to look at that Daniel passage. It is the only place in Scripture that gives us these two other numbers. We're going to look at the first number first, then we get to the extra 35 days. Extra 45 days, yeah. So, the verse is true. My explanation is in the, I think this might be, but we are moving over to, here's my best guess. Okay, so I've tried to be real clear when I think this is exactly what it teaches, and we're going to shift into, here's my best guess. So, and from the time the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination, Daniel 12:11, I think that's right.
Yes.
Yep, okay. So, we can time this out pretty well. And from the time the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, when is that? At the 3.5 year mark, okay? There will be 1,290 days. Why does everybody else say 1,260 days, or 42 months, or 3.5 years? Why 1,290 days? Okay, shifting to a guess. Okay, here's my guess as to where the extra 30 days comes from. We saw in the seventh bowl, the Euphrates is drying up. I wonder if 30 days is after that happens, Armageddon is being established, and that part of Armageddon begins to take place. So 30 days to get the, I'll take your comment in a second, 30 days to get the armies in place, to get set up, is that what happens in 30 days? Obviously, we know that the military can move troops really quickly. Ray, comment?
Well, commentary in mine says, from that time to the end will be 1,290. Normally, 3.5 years would include only 1,260 days. The extra 30 days mentioned here allow for the judgments that will take place after the second coming of Christ.
Okay. I'm going to put that in the 45 days. So, yeah, and I read that one, because we're also going to get, in another passage, 1,335 days. So, this is what I think might be happening during those 30 days. Okay, the end of the 1,260, we're at the end of the tribulation, those 1,260 are over, Now, 30 days for armies to amass, armies maybe even to begin, but I don't know. I have a feeling that, there's really a couple options. Do the armies start to attack Israel? It's looking really bad. This would make a great movie. It's looking bad for Israel. They're about defeated, and then Jesus comes in on the white horse. Or do they get ready to say, fire, and Jesus comes right before it? I don't know. It is a guess. Somehow there is an extra 30 days stuck on the end. We know when it starts, the middle of the tribulation. It has to be 30 more days. So what's taking place then? That's my guess. Okay? So that's my 30 days. Then the end of the tribulation, we also have the second coming. And let me just look at my time. Oh, we're actually in better shape than I thought. Okay. I'll let you read the Matthew 24. So the second coming, when Jesus physically comes back, several things happen. One we looked at, but the Mount of Olives is split. I'll just read you Zechariah 14:4. And that day his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives that lies before Jerusalem on the east. The Mount of Olives shall be split in two from the east to west by a very wide valley, so that one half of the mount shall be moved northward and the other half southward. So, does that correspond to that earthquake? Okay. Jesus can simply, when he comes down and puts his foot on the Mount of Olives, it just splits. Okay? It's not going to give us any great explanation for that. But when he comes, the Mount of Olives splits in two. Now, somebody, the Jews would have done this, they put a graveyard in front of, supposedly Jesus is coming, well, not supposedly, he's coming through the eastern gate. Okay? And so they put a graveyard in front of that, thinking no good Jew will cross the graveyard to go in the gate. Not an issue with Jesus whatsoever. I mean, he could make the graveyard disappear. He could open a path so that he's not walking through the graveyard. He could just beam himself in, nothing disrespectful. So he could just appear at the eastern gate. So there's no issue with that. Sorry, Jews, that's not going to work. The destruction of Rome. Revelation 16. So your Revelation just jumped to chapter 16. Okay, so we talked about the earthquake. Okay, just to review, God remembered Babylon the Great. That's the phrase I'm coming back to. Okay, I'm not going to reread that section. God remembered Babylon the Great. This is the destruction of Rome. Okay. Babylon throughout, we're going to see, is the focus, because King Nebuchadnezzar was, of course, the king of Babylon. It became a focus of power. Whatever that revived Roman Empire is, again, we'll get to that when we talk about the Antichrist. We'll touch on that a little bit more. But this, whatever is the fourth kingdom in the third kingdom in Daniel, in all his visions, that sort of revived Roman Empire that we talked about, whether it's the European conglomerate of countries now, who knows, when it happens, I think we'll be able to go, oh, that's what he was talking about, and I think it'll be clear enough. But somewhere in there, Rome is going to be destroyed. Jump to chapter 18, same section, or same context. Revelation 18, verse 8. For this reason, her plagues will come in a single day. What does he mean by single day? A single day. Okay? Death and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for mighty is the Lord God who has judged her. Again, the revived Roman Empire, Babylon, whatever that looks like. And the kings of the earth who committed sexual immorality and lived in luxury with her will weep and wail over her when they see the smoke of her burning. They will stand far off in fear of her torment and say, alas, alas, you great city, you mighty city, Babylon, for a single hour your judgment has come. So, somewhere in here, this revived Roman Empire is going to be destroyed. Then, interesting, because we need to see what it says, but realize that everything we know about salvation is still true. Jewish people in mass are going to get saved. Let me read a couple passages from Zechariah. You guys turn to Romans 11. So Romans 11, 25 to 27. I'm going to have you look at that. You can see that up on the screen, if you can see the screen. And I want to read the preface to what Paul's going to say. So obviously Paul is going to write Romans 11. Here's what the prophet Zechariah says, and think of this now when you hear it, in the context of the second coming and Jesus is coming. Zechariah 12, verse 10, and I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy. That perfectly defines the God that we know and love. Grace and mercy. A house of David, Jewish people. For that when they look on me, on him they have pierced. So when are they going to look on him? When he appears. So if we picture this at the end of the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus appears and they go, we blew it. And God pours out on them the spirit of grace and of mercy. So they're going to see Jesus on whom they pierced. Okay? We already know from the upper room experience, you can still see the marks in his, I think, his wrists and his feet. Okay? And they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over firstborn. On that day, the mourning of Jerusalem will be as great as the mourning for Hadad Ramin in the plain of Megiddo. Okay, they're going to go, I can't believe for this long we missed it. Then the next chapter in Zechariah. In the whole land, declares the Lord, two-thirds shall be cut off and perish, and one-third shall be left alive. And I will put this third into the fire, refine them as one refires silver, test them as gold. They will call upon my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. How will they do that? They will trust Jesus as you and I had to trust him by faith. The faith was granted them. Grace and mercy was given to them. So it appears that, I don't want to press it too far, two-thirds of the Jewish people will look and go, in your face. And a third are going to go, I can't believe. And they will truly repent, truly be saved, which has been the point of the tribulation period to tell us God is not done with Israel. They are still the apple of his eye. He is still going to have Israel saved. So as a block of people, some still reject, but a lot of them come. So then we get to Paul in Romans 11, lest you be wise in your own eyes, verse 25. I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Well, we're in the Gentile time. Okay, so when that is over, when is that over? At the second coming. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. This will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So there will be a salvation of a block, a huge block of Jewish people. Okay? And then lest we run out of time. So where in the process of that, I think I've put it, my best guess is this is the order of when that happens. Jesus comes down, Mount of Olives is split, destroys Rome, the people see, the Jews see him, they repent. So I think there's some logic to that, but if he wants to do it in a different order, that's fine. Then back to Daniel again. Back to Daniel, 12:12. It's just following up from Daniel 12:11. Remember Daniel 12:11, from the time the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abominations make desolation set, there shall be 1290 days. Verse 12 says, blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1335 days. 45 days. Only place ever in the scripture that they use that. 45 days. What is happening in the 45 days? Well, that's exactly what I, yeah. So I have that in the, so here's a possibility. So again, we're moving into what things still have to be finished, and is there a time frame that they can take place? Okay, Matthew 25 talks about the sheep and goat nations judgment. Okay, so you have human living biological people, meaning not resurrected people. You still have a bunch of people on the earth. Many know Christ, many don't. There has to be a judgment because you have to start the millennium with only believers. Matthew describes that as the sheep and goat nations judgment. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, okay, that puts us at the second coming, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. So there's things that are happening in here. He's going to sit on his throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. He will separate people one from the other as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. That's why it's called the sheep and goat nations judgment. We'll spend more time on that when we get to judgments. So he'll place the sheep on his right, the goats on the left, and the right come on in, and the left go away. I think that is a judgment on saved and unsaved people who are in the tribulation period. Saved are going to go in regular human bodily form into the millennium. Unsaved are going to be destroyed and cast into hell. Could that take 45 days? I don't know. He could do that like that, obviously. That is a guess. I'm just trying to think, where is that judgment going to fit? And at the end of 1335, the Daniel said, blessed are those who make it to the 1335. If you make it through that judgment, meaning you're a believer. Now, don't worry, we're already saved. We're in heaven. We're coming back with him. But if you're on the earth and you make it to 335 days, that judgment is over and you made it. So, Daniel fits. Blessed are those who arrive at 1335. The only other event that I can think of is where's the sheep and goat nation judgment? That's a guess. Okay, that's a guess as to where that takes place. Then you have, and we'll just touch on this briefly because, again, we'll spend a little more time. On the millennial period. You do have to have Satan bound. Now, that's only going to take a split second. But Revelation 20. Then I saw an angel, verse 1, Revelation 20, coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. The symbolism is fascinating. How do you chain an angel? Yeah, very carefully, yeah. And he sees the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan. So that helps us throughout the whole book to say who's the dragon, who's the serpent. Remember, serpent takes us clear back to Genesis chapter 3. Okay, the devil, Satan, different terms for some of the things he's done. And bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the pit and shut it and sealed it over him. So he might not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were ended. 1,000 years, I think, are 1,000 years. Why say 1,000 years if you mean something else? So the millennial period, right before that, Satan is cast into this pit, chained. I don't know that these are physical chains, but something is going to keep him there. Okay. So Satan is bound. What's going to be? We'll jump ahead just a tad. Lots of people. Well, all those who make it through the sheep and goat nations judgment. So the sheep go into the millennium, have kids, lots of kids, okay? They still have to personally make a decision to trust Christ, even though they could see him. And their sin, you can't blame, like Flip Wilson always did. Now, let's see, probably most of you are old enough to remember Flip Wilson, which his famous phrase was, the devil made me do it. The devil's locked up. Okay? No, it's the sin nature and your choices are making you do it. You can't blame the devil on that one. Satan is bound. Then the millennium, we'll spend some time on that. But then Satan is released. I think we're still in your notes. Probably getting real close to the end of the note. But so Satan is released. The end of verse 3, after that he must be released for a short time. Then the final battle. Revelation 20, when 1,000 years were ended. So, tribulation's over. We're done with that. Okay. So the millennium starts. Satan's released for a short time. The final deception, final battle, final destruction. Revelation 20, and we can finish with this. We're not as late as we've been other days. When 1,000 years were ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth. Okay, symbolic. We would say north, house, north, south, east, west. Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. We'll deal with them later. Their numbers like the sand of the sea. There's a ton of people out there. Okay, and they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints of the, and the beloved city, Jerusalem. The fire came from heaven and consumed them, and the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and false prophet were. They'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. That is it. You are over. Judgment is done. Gone are you. Okay? He can breathe. He can speak the whole world into existence. He can speak this final judgment just as easily. But how long is Satan given to deceive? It never tells us. Okay? But a short time. So I'm not going to try and define short time. But Satan is going to be released. Boy, just picture some of that stuff. But now Satan is amassing these this group of people. And then you get to White Throne. We'll just look at it. But we're going to spend a whole time talking about judgments. White Throne judgment, thing to remember there is no saved person ever goes to the White Throne judgment. If you show up at the White Throne judgment, you don't know Christ. They only unsaved. Revelation 20 then describes this great white throne. And the end of that section, 11 to 15, death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. There's a second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, is thrown into the lake of fire. So, to be literal, the final destiny of unsaved people is not hell. It's a lake of fire. The Lord knows how to separate all that out. Okay. Hades, which is just a different version of the word hell, that gets thrown into the lake of fire. So the final place, like I say, we'll talk about that because there's lots of crazy ideas about what happens when an unsaved person dies, from annihilationism to all that. We'll look at that. This is really clear. You don't want to face the White Throne judgment. You don't want to face the second death. Any who face the second death are being punished. Then eternity. Clear back to the very first time we looked at Daniel. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. We're at the end of the millennium period. Judgments have happened. You have only saved people of every age. Nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms, bring them to an end. It shall stand forever. Revelation 11:15, the seventh angel blew his trumpet with a loud voice is saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of the Lord of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. He is here. There will no longer ever be another kingdom but his, and then new heavens and new earth, and we'll finish that. And we'll spend a whole time looking at that. Then I saw new heaven, new earth, for the first heaven or first earth that first earth had passed away, the sea was no more, and eternity future starts. We'll look at what do we know about that, what do we not know about that. But that is the chronological walk through Revelation. Starting next week, we're going to back up and hit some of the topics. So we're going to hit the Antichrist as a topic, we're going to hit judgments as a topic, and a few other things with that. Okay? Now, rest your brains for a minute, and then go enjoy Pastor Dan's worship, or message.